The Afghan Youth Orchestra is part of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music, which came about just a few years ago because basically, essentially, the Taliban, when they took control of Afghanistan from 1996 until 2001, when they had their forced withdrawal, they banned music entirely in that country. And it was completely destructive in terms of you literally could not play music, but they also destroyed books. They destroyed instruments. There was this academy that was largely destroyed. And over the past few years, music has started to come back. So before I talk to you any further, I just wanted to give our listeners a sense of what this music is from these 10 to 20-year-olds that we heard play recently. So these were students who are embarked on their first international tour. This is very, very exciting because the Afghanistan National Institute of Music has been running up and running just for a few years, as I mentioned. And there are about 140 students at this tuition-free school in Afghanistan, again, ages 10 to 21. About a third of them are girls. And this is a directive directly from Ahmed Sarmast, who is their founder. He's also the son of a famed Afghan composer. And so for the first time, he brought them on an international tour. They came here to the United States. They played at Carnegie Hall. They played at the Kennedy Center. And they had a three-day residency here in Boston at the New England Conservatory, at which point they also came over to WGBH for just a little bit to do some recordings. And this is when I spoke with them.
While I was in Afghanistan, I saw that the country really needs someone with a vision for music and with a vision for music education. Music is not just in entertainment. Music is not just a type of art, but music is a powerful force for bringing about social changes. It's a powerful force to bring about economic changes in Afghanistan, and it's a powerful force for assisting the people of Afghanistan to get rid of the traumas of war.
Wow, what a moving story. You know, what effort did it take to bring music back to the country after the Taliban had banned it?
Well, it took a lot of resilience, frankly. I mean, Ahmed Sarmast realized that this was happening. He had basically been out of Afghanistan for about 21 years between living in Russia and living in Australia, but was cognizant of what was happening in his country. He was cognizant that there was this opportunity to bring music back. As I mentioned, he was the son of a famed Afghan composer and conductor. He's a very talented musician himself, so he recognized that there was this opportunity and started going back and forth to Afghanistan until finally moving there permanently within the last 5 years. So, but it took a lot to get this academy up and running. He had to draw teachers. They had to get the students. And what is so moving about this group as well is that a lot of these students come from the streets. Many of them are orphans living in Kabul. He's also got a bunch of middle-class students. But these are students from all walks, but the academy is now thriving. They have these teachers, including one who I met, William Harvey, who's a violin teacher who's gone over there to direct. So they have the attention of the world in many regards, at least the musical world, and not to mention incredible sponsors like the World Bank who are propping them up and helping them be up and running.
Of course, the Taliban, as you mentioned, destroyed a lot of instruments, so they had to replace those as well.
Yeah, and what has happened is really that they have these sponsorships and people have recognized what they can do here. Now it's really funny. They've developed basically two programs. They have the traditional Afghan music program. We just heard that music, but they also have a Western program. And the teacher, William Harvey, told me that when he first started teaching these students, he's a violin teacher, all they really knew were the themes to Love Story and the themes to The Godfather.
Hollywood.
Exactly. Which is, I think, so fascinating because we typically have this image of Afghanistan as completely war-torn, and how could anything like this actually surface there? But no, I mean, they have the information, they have Western influences, and of course, as I mentioned, you know, Afghan music is the traditional program, but it's been really fascinating to watch and to meet these people.
So what do they do on their tour, their visit? They visited Boston. Boston, they're touring the entire United States?
Yeah, they just did three cities. They did New York and then D.C., where they played the Kennedy Center, and then coming here. And William Harvey, again, this teacher told me that he was really, really moved, especially in D.C. A lot of Afghans had come out to see them, and they were crying and waving flags and had banners. And it was just so momentous for these people, these Afghans who had left their country, to see that that music has actually returned there. And Ahmed Sarmast, he sort of bristles at the notion. I asked him, why do you feel it was safe enough to go back there? How do you feel that this is going to be viable? He bristles at that notion. He blames the international media for depicting Afghanistan as this continually ravaged country, and says, this is changing, and I'm bringing these kids here to show you that it has changed.
Wow, what a story. That's great. Thank you, Jared. Now, next we turn to what you say is the first of the spring blockbuster movies.
Yeah, the next two things I'm talking about are great harbingers of spring. I think it makes me happier personally, but Jack the Giant Slayer is the first new big blockbuster, spring blockbuster that's come out. And I have to say, this is a lovely, lovely film. I don't know why they didn't release it a couple weeks earlier so that people can take their families during school vacation week. But I really love this film. It's basically the Jack and the Beanstalk tale. Nicholas Holt plays Jack, and it's got an all-star cast. Ian McShane plays the king. Ewan McGregor plays the guardian of the princess. And basically, it's the very simple tale. The stock grows up. Jack goes up to rescue the princess and battle the giants. But it's in the very capable hands of director Bryan Singer, who, of course, did X-Men. I felt it was all done in moderation. And again, it's a little bit simpler. It's a little sweet. It is rated PG-13, so I don't think it's great for all children because of the giant scenes. But it this really touched me because it's a simpler movie and that it's not overblown. Mm. And it really is a sweet little romance between Jack and this princess, and a very basic, decent tale of good and evil.
And next, we're looking forward to the next season to several local and regional theaters, and one who's already announced their upcoming season is the New Repertory Theater.
Yeah, this is the other thing that really excites me. It's the harbinger of spring and freshness and newness when the theater companies start to announce their season, and New Repertory Theater, which is the third largest theater company in Massachusetts, and just announced theirs. It includes The Elephant Man, Rancho Mirage, Camelot, the great musical, Imagining Madoff, The Whipping Man, and On the Verge. And this is the second season of artistic director Jim Petosa, who has really revitalized and changed the theater company. I talked to him this week to see what was behind his thinking. And he said basically they chose the plays for the season after the election and came upon this turn. There's a resolute sobriety. It wasn't this euphoria after the Obama election that we saw last time. So that's why you have pieces like The Elephant Man and On the Verge. They brought this controversial piece, Imagining Madoff. Yeah. It drew a lot of attention in D.C. when it played there last year because the playwright had pitted Bernie Madoff in a conversation with Elie Wiesel. He bristled at that, so it became controversial. So it's going to be a very different season, and their three-word theme is dreams, dares, and discoveries.